and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My guest today is a young woman who I've known for quite some time now, and she's done everything. She's travelled, she's fitness instructor, she's all over, she teaches, she does everything. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Alana Landolfo. How are you, Alana?
Yay, hello, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, very well indeed. Now, I want to start by, obviously we met a long time ago now down at the gym that I attend, and you were a fitness instructor there. Can you tell us a little bit about why you have a bit of a passion for fitness and health and fitness?
Yeah, I've always had a passion for fitness. Even when I was like 12 years old, almost, you know, tried to sneak into the gym and try and, you know, get into all the group fitness classes without my parents' permission. I'd get in trouble by the fitness instructors. I've just always loved keeping fit myself, and I guess throughout the years being able to, you know, teach other people and educate them about health and fitness is awesome.
And you have taught a spin class. Now, a lot of people probably might not know what spin is. Are you able to tell us just a bit of an overview of what exactly a spin class involves?
Yeah, so I was teaching, so Les Mills RPM. It's generally like a 45-minute class where you're on the bike and you've got, you know, a range of different tracks with music, and you just ride hard for 45 minutes. It's awesome fun.
To go into it a little bit more, so you're on a stationary bike.
Yeah.
You pump up the levels to make it harder and softer depending on what you're going to be doing, and you do it, what, in time with the music? Is that sort of how it sort of
works?
Yeah.
So with Les Mills as well, they're the company, they, you know, for the instructors, they give out choreography notes, so you're not making it up on the spot. You know, you're sort of prepared a bit in advance, and then, yeah, so, you know, you get a bit of speed, strength training, all in one.
And why should people do it? Like, what's the benefits that you get out of it physically from it?
Yeah, so the best thing about group fitness is you're working with a group, and, you know, that can be quite motivating if you're sitting next to a group of people that are all, you know, all working pretty hard. You know, great music as well can be super energizing. And, I guess being an instructor, being able to motivate people and seeing them, you know, really push past their limits, it's really rewarding part of the job.
And what about physically? What do you get out of it physically? Like, what does a person, like, what are they working when they're doing a spin class? What part of their body is burning the fat?
Yeah, so most people think that as an instructor, you know, we have the resistance really light and we're just sort of pedaling, but in fact, we actually have to work pretty hard out there. You know, I guess with spin and or RPM, either or, you know, you're definitely, you know, using your leg muscles, major muscle groups, but also it's great cardio as well. So you're working your heart, and it's low impact. So you get a lot of people that are, you know, have had issues with their knees and things like that, that they can come into a class and still get a good workout.
Cool. So you would recommend it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the great thing about doing a group fitness class is that, you know, it's no one's ever walked in and have done spin before. Like, everyone's always had their first class. Yeah. So if you're sort of a bit worried, definitely recommend, you know, going and giving it a shot. Talk to the instructor and, don't be afraid to have a go, because that's, you know, that's the best part of learning.
And what about training in general? Now, you're a keen trainer. You always, ever since I've known you, you've been squatting big weights and been pumping it up. So what do you enjoy about the actual physical activity itself? What do you really get? What do you love about it?
The listeners couldn't see. I'm like, no, I don't squat that much.
Oh yeah, she does.
So I love it. And since I've only been on the Gold Coast for about 7 years, and I feel like my training's changed a lot from moving here, where we've got the weather to work with as well. So look, nowadays I really train for the sports that I find fun, as well as getting a good workout. So did you want me to?
Yeah.
So like my main sports at the moment is kite surfing, surf and foiling, which is sort of the new sport at the moment in the ocean.
What is that for those who don't know what foiling is?
Yes, there's actually quite a few different types, but foiling is, you might have seen them, it's sort of there's like a metal thing below the board. It's like a surfboard, and that's the foil. And then pretty much when you ride it, you ride above the waves. So it's like you're gliding along the water rather than a chop. Oh, it's amazing. It's like, they say it's like a magic carpet ride.
You're like Aladdin.
Yeah. Yeah. So I keep it pretty interesting with the training. Love the gymnastics and learning new tricks and, of course, gym still and yoga.
So going back into the water sport, like the surfing and the, actually with the foiling, because I've never tried that before in my life. I'm just curious, when you say, are you surfing along the wave?
Yeah, so it is different. Like you do catch different waves to, you know, if you're on a surfboard. But yeah, pretty much you just, jump on a wave and catch it along the green. And then the cool thing about foiling is once you start getting good at it, you can actually pump out the back. So you're not paddling back. It's a lot of leg work as well.
Well, that's where those squats come in handy, see? So you've got nice big strong legs.
Yeah, so.
And you're a keen surfer as well. What do you love about the ocean? You obviously really enjoy the ocean. What is it about the ocean that you really enjoy?
Yeah, it's interesting because I grew up in Melbourne. I never, I was never close to the ocean. But then I always used to think that, oh, yeah, I'd love to be like this beach person. And, you know, now that I'm up in, you know, Queensland, I'm just, you know, I live almost across the road from the beach. And I just, there's a lot of elements. I feel like I see it as, you know, sometimes it can be, you know, you're surfing, it can be a challenge and an adversary where you're, you know, nature's really pushing at your limits with the waves. And then sometimes you can sit on the sand and just look out and it can be quite a calming and, you know, meditative as well. So, and then I always think, you know, you've got your friends element that they can come and tag with you and in the ocean. It's just, yeah, loads of fun.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. And you're a keen traveller. Now, I've known you a long time. You've been all over the world, done all kinds of very cool places. So where have you been? What have you enjoyed?
Yeah, so this year I actually took a year off work where it's been my goal for like 10 years as a teacher to work and travel through Europe. And England's a great spot to do that. You know, they speak English. There's lots of schools, lots of population over there. So this year I decided to head over to England and did a bit of teaching. And then, of course, the massive pandemic hit, COVID-19, and that really mixed things up. So...
But where have you travelled to? Because I follow you on Instagram.
Yes,
you've been Japan and you've been to places in Europe. You've snowboarded down mountains. You've been, you know, you've done it all. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, every year I try and sort of pick one or two trips that I can, I guess, challenge myself, be in a different environment. Done Japan, did a few snowboarding trips. I've done snow kiting there.
Snow kiting.
Ooh, okay. So very similar to kite surfing, but you pretty much have either a snowboard or skis. You got harness and you got the kite and you get to go up mountains, you get to go down mountains.
So do you jump off them or what do you like? You got the. I'm thinking of like
parasail.
No. When you see windsurf or kite surfing in the ocean, obviously the wind takes them up and over the waves and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
How does it work with the snow? Because you don't have waves. What do you do?
Yeah, true. So you're just going down the slope essentially. I guess you can go off track as well. So instead of staying on the actual runs. You can go a bit, you know, off piste, that sort of thing, and actually go pretty fast down the mountains with a snowboard when the kite's pulling you. Once you get pretty good, I imagine you can, you know, jump up and do tricks, but I'm not at that level.
what do you seem to, because you seem to love these sort of sports with like surfing and snowboarding and that kind of stuff. What is it? Is it kind of a freedom that you feel when you do it? Like, what do you enjoy about it?
Interesting. I think I started doing it because I've had to work really hard at board sports. You know, Mum always said, you know, don't ride a skateboard, you hurt yourself, or, you know, there's sharks out in the ocean, don't surf. So I sort of, not until, you know, my mid-20s where I sort of go, you know what, it's been my goal for a long time, I'm going to have a shot. So, and I think as an adult, it's hard to sort of, you know, not put this pressure on yourself, and it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay to look like a kook or just have a bit of fun, be a kid again pretty much.
Cool. I'm always curious as well. I've never talked to you about this, but I'm always being curious because you see surfers and snowboarders, they always seem to be the same. Like a surfer enjoys snowboarding and a snowboarder seems to enjoy surfing. Is there some kind of similarity? Because I don't do either because I'm got zero coordination. But is there some kind of similarity in those two sports?
I guess you've got the balance element, but I think they are different and similar. They're different and similar at the same. Do you know what I mean? So there's like, I guess with surfing, you need to have your ocean awareness. You need to read the waves really well. You've got your paddling fitness as well. Whereas snowboarding, you know, you can get up on a chairlift and then you can, you know, ride hillside or ride, do you know what I mean, straight down if you, you know, and you can slalom down. So I don't know. I guess maybe if you're in the snow and you're a surfer, that's probably the closest sport.
They also seem to have a very similar attitude. Like, you know, surfers and snowboarders, the people seem to be very much alike. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, definitely. It's that really chilled, sort of positive vibe that, yeah, that really attracts people to the sport, I reckon.
Is that what attracts you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And when talking about travelling, what are some of the key destinations? What are some of the places you've really enjoyed visiting?
Oh, Japan's spectacular. Yeah, I love Japan, particularly so for, we've been talking about snowboarding. So just the powder there is incredible. So this year my travels, I went to, you know, Switzerland and Italy as well. And, Japan, just that powder is pretty spectacular. But, yeah, Italy was just as good. I feel like Italy is a bit underrated with the mountains. Yeah, I enjoyed that too.
Now, you also told us a little bit earlier about teaching. You're a school – it's a physical education you teach, is that correct?
Yes.
So why do you choose to spend your days with a bunch of snotty teenagers?
I know. Every time I say I'm a teacher, people go, oh, you teach primary. I said, no, I love teenagers. I love working with them. I love the sassy, the attitude. And then particularly with PE, I think it's super important. You know, I guess if kids have a really positive experience at school and involved in sport, then later in life they're going to keep doing it and it's going to be better for their fitness, it's going to be better for their overall health. So I think it sort of leads on from there and, yeah, just giving students an opportunity to be involved in sport but also, you know, extracurricular activities.
What about parents though? So any parents that are listening to this and their kids are like 12, 13 and they're like, you know, they want to get their kids, they're not sure if they should get them enrolled in a sport or what they should do. What would be your advice to those parents about, you know, because you're obviously very passionate about fitness and teaching and the teenagers and whatnot. So what would be your advice to parents about getting them involved?
Yeah, the biggest thing I've noticed with working with teenagers is that students that have got a sport or, you know, it can be, it doesn't have to be a, you know, really high intensity sport. It could be yoga, it could be, you know, dancing, it could be anything, right? There's so many different sports out there. But kids that are involved in a sport, I've noticed that they tend to be, you know, they've got some more, they're more goal driven, their friendships work better, and they're generally more positive and work well at school as well.
So force your children to exercise is the moral of the story. Is that correct? Yeah,
yeah, positive experiences. That's what we want. You don't want to be forcing a kid into doing a sport that they hate because that will probably turn it, you know, turn them off doing sport.
Yeah, no. Yes. Now, another thing that people might actually recognise Alana because she starred in a Beer Nuts Productions film.
Yes.
She, we required in Small Mercies was the film, and we required someone to be a personal trainer for the main actress Jackie. And so I asked Alana, and she very kindly said yes in her enthusiastic way. So I'm curious, what was the experience like working on a Beer Nuts Productions film?
Yeah, it's great. You know, Goff, he's always got super energy and really easy to work with, professional. And, I just had so much fun. I sort of went in not really sure what to expect. I don't think I had any lines. It was sort of just, you know, in the background training someone. But, I just thought it was fun.
So for those folks listening who are thinking maybe they could do a bit of extra work in a film, you'd recommend just as a positive, fun experience getting involved?
Yeah, so apart from the fun, which is, you know, that's what we want, but it's also, like you get to meet different people. It puts you out of your comfort zone instead of just, you know, doing your usual day-to-day routine. And, that was, you know, networking and getting to work with some different people.
You did a great job. You really did. It was funny. I played a friend of mine watch the movie And after your scenes, they said, is she like that in real life? I'm like, yep, I just told her to be her. And they're like, I could have guessed that. So, yeah, it's just a positive. But that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I've always found you to be such a positive and upbeat human being, which I love, because I'm very bitter and jaded and cynical.
No way.
So, the fact you say no way proves my point. So, I'm just curious as to, like, where did that come from? What was the positive influence? Because obviously it's learned behaviour positivity, I reckon. So what was the positive influence to make you, like that?
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day, and I think there's been a few factors. So I guess, you know, parenting is the first one. So my mum, single parent, she always used to tell me, my sister, you know, make sure you circulate yourself with positive, you know, friends, and as well as just always going for opportunities. So at school, you know, I'd be the one who'd be going for, you know, student representative council or school captain, and, you know, putting my hand up to do volunteer speeches and things like that. And I think that really allowed me to come out of my shell at quite a young age and, again, work with different people and that whole challenge aspect, and not being afraid to make mistakes. But I was also thinking that when I was younger, I used to collect a lot of the little motivational books that you can find at, you know, gift shops, and I used to read them a lot. And I always wonder whether that has had a big impact on my mental, you know, state today, because now I'm always, sometimes you're so in your moment that you don't realize that you're being positive, but I do get comments. And, I think I always try and find that in every situation, you can either look at it as a positive or a negative. You can pick out all the negatives and your day ends up being crap. Or if your day's crap, you go, hang on a sec, this worked well, and this worked well. And then your day doesn't end up being so bad.
Well, actually, speaking of that, I remember I was talking to a friend of mine, because I follow you on Instagram, and I was telling a mate of mine who sort of roundabout knows you from the gym experience, and I said she put a post up on Instagram because she was in Japan and she broke her leg snowboarding, and she put up a post going, oh, I was really upset for like the first few hours, and then I thought, what a great challenge. I'm going to be walking around a country I don't know on crutches. What a wonderful experience this will be. And my mate's gone, does she need to speak to somebody? Does she have problems?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me about the broken leg and how I stayed positive. And I think, you know, same thing. Like you can, you know, when I did it, I was upset. Like I was crying. I thought, oh my God, it's totally destroyed my trip. What am I going to do when I get back home? And, I did speak to my mum, and I think she really changed my perception as well. She goes, you know what, like, you know, you can be upset or, you know, you can just get on with it. And then I started sort of taking, you know, excuse my French, but like taking a bit of the piss out of it. So I'd go, you know what, like, how funny is this? I get to, you know, sit right at the front of the bus and put my leg up on the seat, or I'm just trying to think some of the other funny things I was doing. You know, I get to I think like when I was at the airport, I got to sit in that little buggy and they drive you straight to the front and people were carrying all my luggage. Like it was actually pretty awesome. You know, I didn't have to carry my luggage. I didn't have to line up at the check-in. So, you know, once again, like you can focus on all the sucky things, or you go, hang on, what are some things that aren't too bad?
It's very cool. So if you out there want to see Alana, then just simply you could watch Small Mercies, the Beer Nuts Productions film, and you'll see her training Jackie Story there, and you'll be able to see her positive attitude in play in the film. But I just want to thank you again, Alana, for coming in to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. You're absolutely a sensational human being. I love chatting with you because you just brighten up the room.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. No, you're awesome as well. You always bring epic vibes. So
epic
keep
vibes.
Bringing it. Yep, keep bringing it.
I'll have to put that on a business card. Goff, epic vibes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Alana, again, for coming in. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com for all your entertainment needs. And, of course, like and subscribe to the podcast because that's important. Leave a nice comment because Alana would leave a positive feedback comment, wouldn't you, Alana?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know.
10 out of 10.
There you go. I would say 11 out of 10, but we'll just go with 10. So 10 out of 10. So, you know, just put a positive, nice comment in the positive comment box on the podcast. I don't know. I really don't. Anyway, it's getting late. So, ladies and gentlemen, that has been the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.